It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business.
It is. It's time for the download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. Here at 720 WGN, I'm Justin Kaufman. It's a weekly segment here where we talk shop with Chicago area business owners because Chicago's got a long history with being an economic engine for not just the Midwest, but for the whole country. And that has not changed as Chicago entrepreneurs continue to grow their businesses. And we wanted them to share their stories to help us better understand ours. Tonight, my guest, CEO who successfully navigated the somewhat impenetrable world of fast casual food and is trying his hand in another chain-dominated field, coffee. Matt Matros is the founder of Protein Bar, which started right here in Chicago in 2009. Protein Bar is a local chain that branched out successfully to other markets. It's really a Chicago success story. And in 2015, Matros sold part of his stake to start Limitless High Definition Coffee and Tea in the Fulton Market District. And this isn't just a coffee shop, but it's a roaster and it's a coffee lab. And the goal is to create a new category for coffee, performance. Tonight, we talk categories, we talk brands, and taking on the big dogs. Matt Matros, welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. I've been told that I have a face for radio. This is kind of fitting.
So. It really works out. Yeah. No, I've seen worse, so you're good to go. All right, so let's talk about, I mean, you came to the idea of Protein Bar really in a strange way, but I mean, you were in brand management. You weren't in any sort of retail work or in the restaurant business.
I definitely wasn't. You know, I joke with people that my experience in restaurants is that I had been to them. You know, obviously that was somewhat of a mistake starting one, but the story around Protein Bar was that I grew up heavy. I was the fat kid for the first 22 years of my life, and it didn't help that my name is Matt, which rhymes with fat because I heard all the jokes in the book, and kids can be pretty brutal. And then at 22, I left my job as a sports agent. I was representing baseball players, and this was in 2001 when the Atkins diet and low carb craze was starting to gain popularity. And it just worked for me. Ended up losing about 60 pounds in about a 7-month period from April to October, doing mostly high protein foods and low carb foods and exercising. And it was tremendously successful for me. And I've kept off most of the weight, you know, being an entrepreneur in the food and beverage industry. And as I've aged, I've put a few pounds back on. But I've kept off most of the weight because of a high protein diet.
At what point do you go, okay, I got this high protein diet, it's changing my life, and the light bulb goes on that you want to invest in that. You want to start a business. You want to go all in.
Mm-hmm. It's funny. Malcolm Gladwell, who's a very well-known author right now, he's wrote several books, his biggest one being Blink. But there's another book called Outliers. He talks about the theory of 10,000 hours. And it takes roughly 10,000 hours to develop proficiency in anything. And he uses a couple major examples. A guy named Bill Gates, who didn't just discover Windows. He had coded his entire most of his adult life. And to the point when he got to Harvard, he ended up developing this proficiency. And that led him to creating Windows. And the Beatles weren't just a band that got discovered in Liverpool. They were playing bars around London
and
Liverpool
for
nights and nights and nights. And they just developed this almost like orchestra type performance. And I felt for me, my 10,000 hours, my area of genius was around wellness and nutrition. And that's why I turned it into a career, a profession. I talk to entrepreneurs all the time and I always tell them that it's less about finding a profession and more about finding a calling. And for me, that calling was really around entrepreneurship within the wellness and food and beverage space.
Okay, so you're an agent. That's a somewhat entrepreneurial, but I mean, not necessarily running your own business. Mm-hmm. To make it to go towards your calling. I mean, it's not an easy thing. I mean, people who might be listening right now are saying, "Yeah, I've got a calling. I really want to do this, but I don't have the capital. I don't have the money. I don't really have the know-how to jump in and actually execute." So tell us about that. I mean, because you really went high stakes and pretty much everything you had, you put down.
I mean, you kind of nailed it. So I think that is the one innate quality that separates entrepreneurs from those that don't become entrepreneurs. And not to say that being an entrepreneur is the greatest thing ever, but you know, some people are cut from that cloth, and it's that ability to take that leap. But good to your point about risk. For me, I was my worst case scenario of Protein Bar had failed wasn't so bad. So I looked at it as three things. One, I was going to lose all my entire life savings, which was around 200 grand. Every penny I had ever saved up from the time I was, you know, a kid to the time I was 29 and started the business, I was putting into Protein Bar. I mean, I was selling baseball cards and video games on eBay, like to scratch together everything I had. So if Protein Bar failed, I would lose all that money. Number two, I'd have to file personal bankruptcy to wipe away my SBA loan that I got and my lease that I had signed. And number three, I was going to call Kraft Foods, where I had worked, which brought me to Chicago, and say, hey, can I have my very easy six-figure job back? So point being is, like, that's not a worst-case scenario. Right, that's right. Too bad. It's not like I ever said.
But you planned it out. You thought ahead, and you said, okay, if this doesn't work, I've got a contingency.
I had a contingency. I'll never forget, though, that one of the best days of my life was May 18th, 2009. That was the day we opened our first store. And I remember, although my contingency was going back to work at Kraft Foods, that day, as I'm sitting looking at the lines of people coming in and giving me money for something that I basically created out of nothing, I thought to myself, I'll never go back to work for anyone else. Even if this failed, it means I'll do something else for me. But again, entrepreneurship isn't for everyone. But for those that it is, they feel it and they sort of know it.
Well, I mean, to be in that situation and to have success the way you had success, I mean, for Protein Bar to hit a perfect wave in 2009 where, you know, you're competing at a time with other fast casual places. And I think of, you know, the big chains, the fast food places, more like a Subway or shops like that, for a Loop Lunch Rush or what have you. But there seemed to be this perfect timing for you that there were trends that were happening in this, and not just this country, but around the world, about eating healthy, about changing diet, and people were testing the waters when it came to South Beach and Atkins and other places. So how much of, you know, was it right timing, right place for you, and how much did you put into the brand to let people know that that stuff that you're doing at home, that the diets that you're playing with, the stuff you're looking up online, this is that manifestation?
Well, the answer is that it was 100% yes to both of those things. It was 100% luck and timing, no doubt about it. I got very lucky and fortunate that it was right around the time that people became aware and cognizant of what they were putting. And we're still in what I like to call the second or third inning of the healthy lifestyle game. And then the second part was, yes, around the branding. I'm a very meticulous, detail-oriented, everything matters kind of guy. So when I was building the company, every detail mattered, whether it was building the website or the interior design or the architecture or the chairs I picked out or the blenders I used or the scoops that I picked or the t-shirts that I had or the colors. I mean, I literally could go on and on. And it's funny, I joke when I walk into a store and they'll nitpick little things, and I'll say every single detail I contemplated, whether it was, why is that outlet over there, or why is that ice machine that brand versus another?
Does that become harder to do when you start to expand, when there's a second and third and a fourth and a fifth Protein Bar? Do you feel like, you know, like, I can't make every decision for every place?
I think that's the naivety/neuroticism that entrepreneurs have. And I think it's just part of my game, my DNA. It's, you know, we all as human beings should do what we're, you know, I mentioned genius at, and that's, I'm not good at that many things, but that's sort of one of the things that I like to think that I'm sort of genius at, is the holistic picture of something and trying to translate that holistic picture into commerce. So something that people would be willing to spend money on.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break and we'll stay on time tonight. Matt Matrus is my guest. He's a founder of Protein Bar, which he started in 2009. We come back, let's talk about another transition is we go to limitless high definition coffee and tea. That's the business now. And essentially all of the, what you had to do to jump in on Protein Bar, you had to do again with limitless. And we'll talk about, as an entrepreneur, what it's like staring at the same cliff again in your life. Matt Matrus, my guest on the Download in Chicago Business here on WGN. Stay with us.
It's business time. It's business.
It's a Download on Chicago Business here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Matt Matrus in studio. He's the founder of Protein Bar. He's also he is the founder of Limitless High Definition Coffee and Tea, which is in the Fulton Market District. You know, we're talking about business. I mean, this is the segment, the Download on Chicago Business, and you were able to sustain for years now. I mean, it's 2017, a Protein Bar franchise, not just here, but in other cities as well. I mean, why move out of that? Why not stay with that? Why not ride that till you're competing with Arby's You know, you're in every train station in America. What is it about leaving a job and moving to the next one?
Well, the goal is that hopefully we are competing with the Arby's and the Subways and the McDonald's of the world. It just wasn't within my skill set to be the person that was going to run the organization. The organization had just outgrown me.
And do you have to recognize that as an entrepreneur, or do other people recognize it for you?
Yes.
They're like, we love you, man, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to,
It's not for, so it did have to come with a little bit of an ego, because there was, I just wasn't performing, and I noticed that. And little things started happening that weren't me. Number one was I stopped, as the company got bigger, we got to about 24 locations across three markets. I stopped wanting to go into the stores. I stopped wanting to talk to the guests. I stopped wanting to talk to the team members that we had. And that was kind of like a telltale sign that running an organization is different than being a restaurateur, at least for me. And that's when it started becoming not fun. I also sold a good part of the business to a big private equity firm. So I had a boss for the first time in many years. And so that was a little bit of a shock for me, especially for someone who's not a great employee.
I mean, you still have ties, but is it hard for you to let go? Because as we talked about being an entrepreneur, and you feel that your genius is being able to look at everything and set things up in the store and contemplate what the scenarios that are there, from the wallpaper to the outlet. Is it hard for you, and does it continue to be hard, to sort of let that part of it go?
You know, I don't have children. I'm not married. But I think the best analogy I like to use is, you know, everyone's like, oh, my gosh, you sold a protein bar. That's your baby. And I say, yeah, well, my baby grew up and went off to college, and now I'm going to have another baby. Whether or not that's actually true when I have children, we'll see. But that's sort of how I feel. Is it hard? Not really. I actually thought it would be much harder.
Really?
You know, I'm still on the board, so I'm still actively engaged in the business. I know what's going on. I see the daily numbers. I walk in as a customer pretty much every day of the River North store. And I root for the brand. I'm still the guy that goes out to bars and is the protein bar guy. So that's kind of fun and exciting.
I guess doing radio interviews as the protein bar
exactly.
guy.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Right. But it's just, it's not really mine anymore. And I'm totally okay with that. And I think part of the reason why I'm okay with it is twofold. One, because I just had to come to grips with it, number one. And number two, I wake up every day and I think about selling coffee. So that paradigm shift, whereas before I woke up every day, how do I sell a healthy burrito? And that's just sort of how I am wired as a human being, right or wrong. I mean, maybe that's arguable.
Well, I mean, let's make that transition. I mean, I kind of joked in the beginning of it sort of being somewhat impenetrable, the idea of getting into fast casual. I mean, there's so many options in so many places, but Protein Bar was able to carve out a niche. So what do? You go find another somewhat impenetrable field, coffee. I mean, there are the big chains right here on Michigan Avenue that are even doubling down and investing in roasters and other places. And then there's a myriad, you know, neighborhood coffee shops that also are getting into the game of really being able to deliver a high quality product. Why get into coffee? What is it about Limitless that differentiates itself from a very crowded field?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't even drink coffee about 15 months ago. And after I left Protein Bar, I was traveling around and I found myself in Indonesia, random.
Sure.
on a coffee farm. And, you know, a lot of the world's coffee comes from Indonesia. A lot of people don't realize the biggest island in Indonesia is called Java, right? So that's where that name comes from. And I was touring this coffee farm more as a curious capitalist and less as a coffee consumer. And I thought how filthy, literally dirty, the coffee farm was. And I was surprised that if more Americans knew how dirty the coffee process was, I don't think they would consume as much of the product. Came back to the U.S. a couple months later. And, you know, like any entrepreneur, I sort of had that moment where I was like, there's got to be a better way. So I started researching and actually found that the coffee farm that I had seen is representative of roughly about 60% of the world's coffee farms. It's what's called natural process. The bean gets picked from a tree, and coffee beans, a lot of people don't realize, are similar to cherries, like actual American or Michigan cherries, where there's a pit. Well, it's the pit of the coffee cherry that's actually the bean that we get to know. Well, in order for that bean to be exposed, traditionally coffee farmers would leave the bean out, and it would take 3, 4, 5 months for that fruit to ferment. Well, during that process, it's being exposed to dirt and rain and wind and worse off, bird poop and bugs and all kinds of nasty stuff. Well, the wet wash process, which is the beans that we import, are beans that are actually physically washed at the source. So they're washed at the source farm. So for us, it's mostly Central and South America. And then they're soaked overnight, and the fruit falls off, and then they're sent to us. And then when we get it, we air roast it. So only about 20% of coffee roasters are air roasters. So what air roasting does is actually sucks away all the dirt contaminants that come in the process. And then we brew our cold brew with reverse osmosis water. So we like to say that we have the cleanest coffee and tea in the world.
And all that, and you know that as an entrepreneur, all that stuff is great. I mean, that is going to be the stuff that technically yeah, everyone wants to hear, especially when they invest in any sort of product. But how do you make that connection to someone who just wants coffee like that? I mean, and what you've done, which is really ingenious, is again with the branding, you want us to create a new category.
Yeah.
This is performance. This is something entirely different than the coffee that you get from Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or other places. This is a different category of drink.
But that's the risk, though. So it's, for me, it works. Like with Protein Bar, that was my diet for 8 years, so I knew it worked. But I didn't know it was going to work for everyone until I put $500,000 into the first store by Sears Tower and opened my doors. And by the way, even then, we didn't do that well. It took about 8 months. But same thing with Limitless. I'm a believer, in fact, I'm betting most of my net worth, that people are going to start caring about clean beverages in the same way 15, 20 years ago they started caring about clean produce. So they started eating organic or all natural. Or 10 or 12 years ago, they started caring about clean meat and poultry, so they started eating hormone-free. And I think, you know, the number two and three most consumed beverages in the world are coffee and tea. So I think people will start caring. At least I'm betting.
Do you think that, I mean, that's the bet. The bet is that there'll be a consciousness that will grow. And it will change our habits. Is that a good bet as an entrepreneur? That's really something. It's even beyond what the product is.
Yeah,
you're betting on the fact that we are going to change as consumers our habits.
This bet is a little bit more mitigated than Protein Bar because 65% of people drink coffee every day. So that's one. Protein Bar, I was just so new and emerging. I literally just made it up. So that was a bigger risk. But number three, what we don't realize is that we already use coffee as a performance tool, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But we kind of do it begrudgingly. Like, think about those old, you know, comic strips of Kathy, the late, you know, comic strip that says, "Ooh, don't talk to me till I have my coffee," or whatever it is. Like,
right.
But that's why we drink coffee, for performance enhancing. I'm just trying to flip the switch on that and show that it can actually drive even better performance with a certain type. And oh, by the way, embrace it. Embrace it in the same way that we embraced Red Bull back in the early 2000s, and embrace it in the same way that we embrace anything that helps us feel like a better version of ourselves.
You know, I've always get back to your core and what you went to school for and everything when you talk about brand management, but I've always been fascinated by places like Starbucks where they're not selling coffee, they're selling an experience. They're selling sitting down in the fluffy chairs at a, you know, and having a cup of coffee. They're selling an experience. What are you, I mean, it sounds like it's even beyond the product. You're selling performance, or you're selling habit. I mean, when you think about how you develop a brand or put that brand out, is it more than just the product that you're selling?
You're totally right. So it's all about that positioning. So in marketing, there's a positioning statement. Marketing 101 would say your brand is blank is the blank that blanks because of blank. So using Tide is the brand of detergent that gets your clothes cleaner because we have X years of science. I kind of made that up. But for every product or brand or anything that you ask people to buy, you first need to ask them, what are they not going to buy so that they can buy your product, and then why? So with Protein Bar, what are you not going to buy? Chipotle. Why? Because we have half the calories. What are you not going to buy? Subway. Because we have half the calories. Limitless, what are you not going to buy? Well, it's all your other coffee consumption. And why? Well, because our beans are almost free of toxins and they make you feel better. Whether or not people believe that or care about it is a whole other story.
Right,
there's still people who go to McDonald's and Chipotle every day, and there's still going to be people that go to Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts every day. It's just how big that market can be. Only time will tell.
For you, as a Chicago entrepreneur who's investing in another Chicago company here at Limitless, and you could do it anywhere. I mean, you've seen, as you mentioned with Protein Bar, I mean, you're at three markets now. Mm-hmm. Why? What is it about Chicago that developed you and keeps you here?
Yeah, I think Chicago is the best kept secret in America from a business perspective. Of course, the city gets a lot of heat, especially recently. But I'll tell you, I can walk into City Hall, which I do pretty frequently. I was there last week, and navigate my way and have a business permit in hours. I mean, and I've done business in Arlington, Virginia, Washington, D.C., Denver, Boulder, Oak Brook. Chicago's still the easiest place to do it. And is it easy because I know it? Maybe. Well, that's part of the reason why I'm still here. But in New York, LA, San Francisco, there's just a competitiveness and a it's a harder market to be a big thing or to have to get attention, really. Mm-hmm. And I think in Chicago, people are just open. They care. The friendly confines of Wrigley Field for a reason. I mean, we're a friendly market in the Midwest. We want to help. You know, rising tide raises all ships. And yeah, there are competitors in anything that you do, but I don't feel like it's a competitiveness with a mean streak. It's competitiveness with a friendliness.
Matt Matras, Limitless High Definition Coffee and Tea, of course, also the founder of Protein Bar, which he started back in 2009. My guest tonight on the Download on Chicago Business. Matt, thanks for coming in and sharing your story.
That was really awesome. Thank you.